Hello, welcome to another episode of Praiseworthy, and it's been a little while, but today we are so grateful for my sweet friend, and also she's my hairstylist, Taylor, and we really feel humbled that she has
offered to come
on to the program. Offered to come on, because the story that she's going to share is pretty heavy, and my heart goes out to her, and she just feels so strongly about getting this message out there, because there's so many people who will benefit from this, and so we're so grateful for her. But before we get started, we just wanted to give you guys a little info about Taylor. She's a wife and she's a mommy of her sweet little boy. And I have seen him and he is so cute. He's so cute.
Yeah, you met him last appointment.
Yeah, yeah. She was born and raised in Wyoming, and she is a cosmetologist of 4 years. And like I said, she is my hairstylist and I love her and she's amazing. So thank you for making my hair beautiful every
thank
time.
Thank you for hanging out with me and letting me do your hair.
Of course. she has a lot of passions, like we all do. She has a passion for making people feel beautiful inside and out. And she also has a passion for helping and inspiring others, which leads us to this topic. Mm-hmm. You ready? Okay. Okay, so Taylor was sexually assaulted how many years ago now?
What year is it?
2020.
It'll be 5 years in October.
Oh my gosh, it's been 5 years. Does it feel like it was yesterday?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does it stay in the back of your mind? Or are you at a place now where it's not always there?
I'm definitely at a place now where it's not always there, but there's little moments that it's like, oh, I hate that memory.
Yeah.
Or little things in my marriage that I have a wonderful husband, but maybe I'll feel like, oh, he doesn't love me. And then it'll just bring me back, just being my dramatic self, but it'll bring me back to how I felt after that incident.
Interesting.
It's always there. Yeah. But I don't always think about it.
That's good.
But I think for the first three years, it was just constant every day. Every day struggle.
I can't even imagine. Would you like to talk about the events that led up to it?
Yeah.
And just for clarity too, Taylor was raped.
Yes.
And so she is going to take the reins now and just talk about the events that led up to it and what you did after to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be on this podcast because I think it's amazing what y'all do.
Thank you.
And 1 in 6 people are sexually assaulted or raped in their lifetime, no matter if it's as a child or as an adult. And so I thought it was just a really important topic to talk about. And I'm at a point in my life where I can talk about it, but so many people aren't able to talk about it. So I thought if I could help anyone, even just one person, find their own healing, then it would justify like telling my story and maybe reliving it or going through some emotions. But I think it's totally worth it if there's someone out there that can benefit from it. So I was 18, and I had just had my first kiss, actually, like, at the end of my senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I was in a different school that year, so I moved back to my hometown, and all my friends were, well, not all of them, but most of my friends were already having sex, and, you know, they're very free and, like, mm-hmm. willing and matured in that area than I was, and I was fine with that. I wasn't wanting to be there yet. So that summer, I would just hang out with guys, you know, make out here or there, nothing, like, serious. But I always told them, I will not have sex with you. Because that's not something I was willing to do at that time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, several people, they're like, oh, I wasn't even going to do that. Or, oh, okay, that's good to know. And I never had any negative comeback from that. And I think...
That's great.
I don't know if I was naive or if I was just very trusting, but all those men that I had had that experience with, they all respected me. So I felt very strong in that area. I felt like I respected myself in that area. And I'd never thought that someone would cross that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, I was also a sexual assault and domestic violence junior advocate.
Wow.
So the Community Safety Network, I'm from Jackson, Wyoming, and they have Community Safety Network that does a series of classes every year. And so from eighth grade to junior year, because I moved my senior year, I did that 8-week class. And it teaches you about red flags in relationships. It teaches you about how to handle yourself and how to prevent that things from happening, but also what to do after you've either been in an abusive relationship or sexually assaulted.
Wow.
So I had the privilege of helping several people in my school. They would contact me and I would take them to the hospital to get a rape kit done. So that's how I knew, kind of after my experience, like, I had a good idea of what steps to take.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was on Tinder. I was in the middle of beauty school, and I agreed to drive to where this guy lived. I was gonna say man. I don't really consider that him a man, but.
Mm-hmm.
I agreed to go on a date with him, and before I even left, because he lived an hour away,
mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to dinner? What are we doing? And he was like, well, I thought we could, like, watch a movie and hang out. And, like, to me, okay, that sounds great. So, I also was very, frugal with my money at the time, but I could not afford to, like, go down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't come. I can't pay for gas this time. And he offered to pay for my gas. And I was like, are you sure? Okay, fine. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll pay for your gas.
Hmm.
And that whole day, I had school all day before. And I was like, I don't want to go. Just like, I felt almost feeling like lazy, but now I can look back and see that it was my gut.
Yeah.
Telling me not to go. And I told my friends, I don't want to go. And they're like, Taylor, just go. You agreed, just go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got home and I was living with my mom and I was like, I don't really want to go.
Yeah.
And she's
so
like,
your mom knew.
Just go. Yeah.
She knew about, okay.
Yeah. My mom and I have always had a very open relationship. Mm-hmm. And
that's great.
She knows everything.
That's great.
About me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she knew I was going on a Tinder date. And
mm-hmm.
She's like, well, maybe you'll have a good time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, fine. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it'll turn into something really cool. So I go down there, everything was fine. He did provide a little bit of alcohol, and at that time mm-hmm. I was drinking a little bit here and there, so that didn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were watching a movie, and I remember watching this movie, and I was thinking, like, wow, he's really cool. He's been such a gentleman. He's been really polite and mm-hmm. just thinking good things about him. And I don't know if it was because I wanted to believe all the good things about him or what.
Or he wanted you to believe those
or
things.
Or he maybe. Wanted to, yeah.
Yeah.
And then probably like halfway through the movie, he started kissing me. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. not a big deal. I didn't really expect anything else, especially in Rexburg, like, everybody, you just make out, right? But after a few minutes, he was like, well, okay, follow me. And I was like, okay, where are we going? And he's like, just follow me. So I followed him, and I, at this point, I didn't know, like, how he was meaning to come off, but he threw me on his bed.
And oh my gosh.
But it was like, he was almost like trying to be sexy about it. And that's when I knew, I was like, oh, okay, listen, I'm not having sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
because I told everyone else that, and I wanted to make that very clear before he got any ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned from this sweet, polite guy to a very scary guy. And as soon as I said that, he said, "Then why the F are you here?"
Oh my
And I said, "To hang out with you." Like, I remember that. I was like, "I thought we were hanging out. I thought we were watching a movie," like you said. And then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. We don't have to have sex. You're fine." And so at that point is when I started to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But he had actually picked me up from the gas station, so I didn't have my own vehicle.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember, so we just like continued making out. And then he kept trying to go a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And I just kept saying, "I'm not going to have sex with you." And he said, "Well, what, are you a virgin?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, okay, well, we don't have to have sex. I told you we don't have to." Mm-hmm. So I'm like, "Okay." And then he just kept trying to go further. He talked me into taking my pants off.
Mm-hmm.
But he just kept saying, like, "Just relax. Just relax. Like, we're fine. I'm not going to do anything." And I was like, "Okay." And I had this mentality. I don't think it's a good one to have, but I had this mentality that I did not want to be a tease. I didn't want to have sex with him, but I didn't ever want to be a tease. So
mm-hmm.
at that point, I started doing other things for him so mm-hmm. that he didn't feel like I was, like, leaving him high and dry, even though that's what I should have done.
Well, do you think you were feeling, like, intimidated and maybe kind of scared? And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes I think as girls, when we feel those things, we're like, "What can I do to better the situation I'm yeah. in?" I don't know if you felt that way.
Side note, someone just last year had said something, talking about money or something weird, like not even on this topic. And he said, "Taylor, you don't know what it's like to be in survival mode."
Oh,
and I was like, I just had to leave. I was like, "You know, you don't even know what kind of survival mode I have been in, because that's what I consider, like, me being willing to do that." And I never said no to that. I was definitely willing to do it. As long as he was happy, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what... He wasn't the guy that I thought I was hanging out with. So I didn't know what...
And you had no
what
car.
What could happen. I didn't have a car. Who could I call in that area? It wasn't yeah. here
mm-hmm.
where I live. So I didn't have anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to, like, make it out, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember once he had gotten my pants off, he kept trying to, like, do stuff down there, and I was like, "No, we're just gonna stay away." Like, I remember, like, going, "We're gonna stay away," and making, like, a box around me. I'm like, "You know what? I don't care doing those things for you, but we're not doing that." And he's like, mm-hmm. "Okay, that's weird." And then, all of a sudden, I just felt an extreme pressure. Somewhere I'd never felt that. And I remember, like, taking my hand and shoving his chest, like, "Ouch, this hurts. This, like, really hurts." I remember saying that, and to stop. And he just kept going, and...
Oh, my gosh.
At one point, I wasn't fighting hard. Like, I wasn't, like, kicking and screaming and biting and blah. Mm-hmm. But I remember just giving up. And in slow motion, I can remember, like, my head falling and hitting the bed and my body just going limp. Because you just realize, like, he's having sex with me after I told him so many times that I was not going to have sex with him. And I just remember being like, "Okay, this is happening.
Oh.
There's nothing I can do about it now. Like, it's done."
Mm-hmm.
Do you think part of that was out of fear, or do you think a lot of it was just shock to the system, or what would you describe it as?
I think a lot of it was shock. I've heard it explained in other survivor stories that you feel a piece of you die, and I can totally connect with that moment. It was just like, okay, that part of me is gone. And I didn't have any control over someone taking that. And I know that people who aren't virgins experience the same thing, but that's what I can relate it to.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just looking at him, probably with some tears in my eyes, and I just said, I was not ready for that. And he was like, what, to have sex with me? And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Because you had just told him over and over, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what was his react, like, what did he do after, did he say anything?
Well, there was a point where I was just laying there, and I remember being limp or, like, lifeless. Like, I was there, I was thinking, I was processing what was happening, but my body wasn't moving, doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up and left the room. And I was like, okay, now's my chance. Survival mode again.
Yeah.
I got up, put my pants on. I had a sweater my sweatshirt I put over my shirt. And I was just like sitting on the bed for when he got back, like, okay, you're taking me to my truck. And he's like, oh, I just had to run and get a condom. And I was like, no.
Oh my gosh. And then
I was like, can you please take me back? And he said, well, I'm not done yet. So,
oh, Taylor.
Survival mode. I had to do other things to make sure he was done.
Oh my gosh.
And then once he was getting ready to take me back, he just kept saying, I didn't rape you, Taylor.
He said that.
Mm-hmm. He said, we didn't have sex. And I'm like, what is happening? Like,
you felt him go inside of you. You had sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was just a little. Like, it doesn't count. I didn't have sex with you. You, and started to make it seem like, you can have sex with the man you're in love with. Like, he'll be the one to take your virginity. And that, yeah. He just kept saying, I didn't rape you.
It's interesting that he said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe it's like his conscience knew exactly what he did.
Yep.
And he was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the thought you had, but just listening to you, it's like, that's what it sounds like.
I think in the middle of everything, I'm not sure, obviously, but I think he didn't know what he was doing.
Was he drunk?
He wasn't drunk. I think we were slightly intoxicated,
mm-hmm.
but definitely not intoxicated enough for him or I to not understand what I was communicating to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that he really was like, oh crap, did this just happen? And he was just trying to be like, no, I didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he was starting to realize what he had done.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
I was like, can you just take me back now? And he drove me back to my pickup. And he asked me if I was LDS. And I said yes, even though I was not active at the time.
Uh-huh.
And then he just started to, like, go off about how the church is so wrong. And he's read the Book of Mormon. And everything in it is crap. And I'm like, I really don't care your opinion right now. Like, don't even come That's at me weird. About my religion. Like, this is so random.
Yeah.
Just get me home. And he said that he would give me money to get back home. And he dropped me off pretty much like, okay, get out, and then drove off. So I spent probably a good 20 minutes just searching for quarters in my pickup, just like seeing if I had anything anywhere to get home.
He didn't end up giving you money?
Mm-mm.
Because he said,
I'm not the type of person like, oh my gosh, you said you would pay for me.
Yeah.
But
and I'm sure you just wanted to get out of it as well. So
I was just doing, I just got whatever I could and got some gas, and I was just, you know, processing. Like, what just happened? And I called one of my best friends in beauty school, because she had been through the same thing about a year and a half prior, I think. And I remember her telling me her story, and I'm like, did he rape you? She's like, yeah. This is the first time I'm talking about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just remember being like, if anyone's going to understand what I'm going through right now, it's going to be her.
Right.
Yeah. So I called her, and I was like, listen, like, this guy, because she knew I was going on that date. She knew I was going out of town a little ways. I said, this guy raped me. And I said it out loud, and I just, like, lost my mind.
I'm sure.
And then she was just there for me and, like, talked to me and told me, you know, like, it's not your fault, all the things that need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, I went into advocate mode. And I'm like, okay, what are the steps I need to take now?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know the Family Crisis Center here in Rexburg at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew the Community Safety Network over in Jackson. So I just called the Jackson line, which is, if you're in Jackson or near Jackson, it's 307-733. It's SAFE. SAFE is the 7233, but it spells SAFE.
It spells SAFE, okay. And we'll put that, when we put all your info on our website,
mm-hmm.
and on social media when we go live, we'll put all this, all those numbers on there too.
Okay.
Yeah. Crisis Center.
So yeah, I just remembered that number. Like, okay. I called them. I said, this has just happened to me, but I'm not in Jackson. Do you want me to drive there? Like, I was willing to just go there because that's where I knew the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it a 24-hour hotline?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Here in Rexburg has one as well that I'll share in a second. But she called over to the hospital here in Rexburg and kind of gave him a heads up that I was coming in for a rape kit. And I had been there with friends and other girls that needed someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen them done before. I was there with them holding their hand through it.
Oh my goodness.
But I never knew how traumatic that experience alone is, even though they're just there to help you. So I got home. I was really nervous to say anything to my mom. I was just going to say, like, hey, I'm going to my friend's house. Like, bye.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the bathroom, and she just knew something was up. And she said, did he hurt you? And I was like, yeah. So she drove me to the hospital, which was very hard because, bless her, she's so loving and so emotional that I didn't really get... It was hard to process her being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
As well as myself being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I get there, they have the advocate from the Family Crisis Center come.
Okay.
Who, and like, I kind of remembered everything, like, okay, this, yeah, I know this, I know this, I know this. A police officer showed up and asked for my statement, and because I was 18, I got to choose whether charges were pressed or not. But, I mean, I was so traumatized that I really had no idea what I wanted, and that was very life-changing for me, because helping other people all through school, I don't think one of them pressed charges. Mm-hmm. And in my mind I was like, why yeah. aren't you pressing charges? Like, you could stop this person from hurting other people.
Mm-hmm.
And being in that position was crazy. I was like, I never want to see that guy again. I never want to tell anyone this. I never want to do anything that has to do with him.
Yeah.
And so I started to really understand the victim side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was looking at it as an advocate for so long. And mm-hmm. now I get to look at it from both sides.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of thankful for. Because I think that's, if I had an advocate that had been through the situation, it's completely different. Because you have people say, it's going to be okay, it's going to, you know, it's not your fault, which is important to hear, but I needed to hear, like, it's okay to feel the way you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really needed, and the close people that I have in my life that have also been through a very similar situation, I've just really made sure to say, like, it's going to hurt. It's going to suck. Like, it's okay to cry about it. It's okay to feel the way you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
because so many women feel so guilty for it. And I felt guilty. I kept trying to talk myself out of it. I said, well, he said that he didn't rape me, so why would he say that if he did rape me? Or I did those other things for him.
Yeah.
So why? Maybe it was my fault. Like, I led him on too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the right to say no. Even though, realistically, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, following everything, after the kit, I stayed home from school the next day. Just was, like, still processing. And the officer that night actually told me, like, hey, I know this is going to be a rough time for you. I'm going to let you process for a while. I'll get a hold of you in a week. And I'll see what steps you want to take from here, if you want to press charges or not. I said, okay. So in my head, I said, okay, I have a week to think about this huge decision.
Yeah.
And I get a call, not the next day, but the day after that, in the morning, saying that they have this man's statement. They had already gone and talked to him.
So had you given them his name initially? Okay, so they just
went ahead. Even wow. though they told me they were going to give me a week to let them know what I wanted them to do. I felt pretty betrayed by that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the officers here in town. It was where it happened. But I was like, excuse me? Like, now he knows that I came forward, which was terrifying at the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was extremely scared of him because I didn't know him. Like, I thought he was this nice guy, and then he did that to me. Like, what else is he capable of?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But that was really hard. So a couple days after that, they sent an investigator here to meet with me. And I went in and I told my story. I said, this is what happened. I said no, like, a million times, or at least 10 times.
Yeah.
And he was really nice about it at first. Like, I'm so sorry that you've had to go through this. But I think he had a good cop, bad cop thing, but there was only one there.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden he said, Taylor, what I don't understand is why you would do these other things for him if you weren't going to have sex with him. And that's when I started getting sassy. And I said, I was 18 exploring my sexuality. I had just had my first kiss. I was not ready to do that. And he knew that. I told him that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, okay, well, are you wanting to press charges? And this is something I really wanted to talk about, because I think there's a pressure to press charges.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was the one probably giving off that pressure to a lot of women that I went to school with. And I did not press charges because of my healing. And I spent a lot of time really contemplated. It's one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make, because I had to think about, well, what if there's other women that he's done this to, or that he's going to do it to? But I knew that my own healing was not going to happen if I had to sit up there in a courtroom, if I had to look him in the eyes again. That's not what I needed. I needed to focus on myself. And I think it's very important for things to be reported. I think people should be held accountable. 100%. I'm awareness, and I don't think anyone should get away with it.
It's such a personal decision. Yeah.
But I also don't want anyone to feel like they have to press charges for someone else outside that knows what's going on. And they're like, okay, well, you need to press charges. Like, if anyone would have said that to me, I probably would have said, like, F off. Mm-hmm. Because that's not going to help my healing in any way. And I did confide in my close friends, and I said, listen, I'm just going to need you guys right now. And if
it's something that you've been through recently or 10 years ago and you haven't talked about it, I think that is one of the number one ways to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about it. If you know someone that's been through the situation that can understand, that helps so much because they've been there. Maybe not in the same extent, maybe not in the same situation,
mm-hmm.
but it's just really important to talk to someone.
I love that. I agree. With our trials we've been through, I think us being able to talk to people, especially being in contact with people or being put in contact with people who have been through the things we've been through, it absolutely helps to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be open and vulnerable, and yeah, I completely agree.
And even with my brain cancer, you know, I, a couple months ago, finally joined like a support Facebook group.
Yeah, last year you did.
Which is a small thing, but you know, I just have been able to give other people encouragement and just talk with other people who have been through it, and I'm grateful for that because it's helped me to, you know, not come to terms with what I've been through. But
it helps you not feel alone.
Yeah, it makes the world feel a lot less lonely. And it's nice to know that there are other people in the world who can empathize with you. And that helps to kind of go through anything.
Right. And especially with the subject. Like, I was in beauty school and, you know, I had that one friend that I already knew had gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then another friend confronted me, asked me how I was doing, and I like bawled in her arms, and she was like, I went through the same thing a year ago.
Oh my gosh.
And we later found out that someone else that was looking after me had also been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they waited 10 years to even confront it within themselves.
Wow.
So I feel very fortunate that I had the training and education
mm-hmm.
that I had beforehand because I knew what to do. I mm-hmm. knew, like, okay, yeah, this did happen. I said no. Even if I hadn't said it, I was, like, pushing him.
Yeah.
I wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And he never asked me. He told me, he pretty much acted like he would have never even hung out with me, which I know he wouldn't have now because he, right.
Yeah.
But I was able to talk to my friends, and through that, I started being able to talk to other people about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they told me about that situation, I could tell them that, hey, I've been in a very similar circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go through 3 years of counseling.
Oh.
After a year, they diagnosed me with PTSD.
Oh, wow.
And so I went through what's called EMDR, which stands for It stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Hmm.
So I don't know, like, the technical or medical terms about it, but it was 8 sessions long, and it was so hard for me to get through that it took me 2 years. Wow. And I went to counseling every week for 2 years.
Wow.
And, yeah. And it was supposed to only take 8 sessions. And you relive it in your mind, and you watch a light, and it tells your therapist, like, okay, like, this is triggering an emotion. Like, we need to tackle this and then move mm-hmm. on to the next trigger. And at the end of that, I felt very free from it. When I relived the memory,
mm-hmm.
I don't relive it as it was happening to me. I relive it as I'm watching that girl that it's happening to.
Interesting.
Like, I'm in the room, but mm-hmm. it's not happening to me.
You've kind of separated yourself from the incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
wow,
I think that is the best thing that I could have done for my own healing. And any of my friends, anyone that confides in me over it, I just really want to emphasize that doing what's doing what you need to do to heal.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I would talk about it, but I looked at people that talked about it, like, in public, very freely, that they were faking.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. even recently, there was an incident where someone brought it up in my workplace. And they were like, yeah, this happened to me, and I just need, like, to do something for myself. And I'm like, she is saying this for everyone loud and clear to hear. Like, this is so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home and, you know, had my flashbacks, had my emotions, my, you know. And then I realized, like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
She is strong enough and brave enough to talk about it at all. I should have never felt like she shouldn't be able to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she was just talking to a girlfriend. You know, that's who you need to confide in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've definitely learned that everyone processes it very differently. I learned PTSD looks different for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I had it to where I would close my eyes and I would just see him.
Mm. That's terrifying.
I actually, during the rape kit, they gave me Plan B.
Mm.
And the next month, I did have a miscarriage.
You did?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Wait, what? Okay, so about a month and a half.
Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
And that was hard.
Yeah. That's horrible.
That was way hard. And I didn't tell my mom about that one.
Mm.
But I did tell my close friends, and they were there for me,
mm-hmm.
which was really important.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Yeah, I think just doing, like, you need to recognize that it happened, and mm-hmm. that's one of the hardest things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then looking for resources to help yourself, whether that be pressing charges. A lot of people need that justice to mm-hmm. heal. And
yeah.
I fully, fully support that. I never want this guy to ever do that to anyone again.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, the officer did go to his house and just scare him a little bit.
Okay, good.
And was like, listen, if you ever do this again, they will talk.
Yeah.
Because she talked.
Mm-hmm.
But this, I don't know how this is going to come out, but my mentality at that point, once I started healing,
mm-hmm.
was I can't let this ruin my life. So I couldn't bring it in myself to ruin his. Mm. Because I don't know if I'm just like too understanding, because I don't feel that way about everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think people really do need to be held accountable and really do need to.
You need justice to
you
be served.
You need justice, yeah. But in my personal situation, I did not.
And I think maybe part of that for you was that you didn't want it to come off as retaliation, or you didn't want to, you know, maybe be the vengeful person that's ruining somebody else's life. I can see that being extremely, extremely hard mentally to process, you know,
right.
because it's not what you wanted.
Mm-mm.
But at the same time, you don't want that to happen to anybody else.
Right.
And there is a part of you now that was gone and that you weren't able to get back. And it's not about retaliation, but there does need to be some sort of justice served. And there needs to be an understanding met by that guy that what he did was very wrong.
Mm-hmm. So it's good the cop went there.
Yeah. And I have no idea how he reacted, if he, because our statements matched almost word for word, except he said that I wanted it.
Mm.
So,
of course he did.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised. Like,
yeah. So I have a question.
Yes.
What advice would you give to people who are on the dating apps, like Tinder? Is that still popular? I don't even know.
I don't know either.
But like, what advice, because I'm sure people still meet up.
Yeah.
What advice would you give?
I think
those people,
because weirdly enough, I did download the app
like a year later. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why am I doing this?
Healing.
But I was healed.
You were healing.
But I met my husband. So I think I
had to. Is that how you met him?
Yes.
I forgot. I love him. And he is great.
He is.
I've been able to meet him a couple times and he just seems like a cool guy.
He is.
Just a good guy.
He's a really good guy.
So how has he been with this experience?
I told him about it, but I've never gone into detail.
Mm-hmm. Is this the most detail right now you've been, like, if he were to hear this?
Yeah. The most detail he would have ever heard.
Okay.
But if I'm feeling like, hey, I'm processing this again.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to say, like, that incident is really affecting me right now. And he's just been very there for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's on so the the second anniversary. The anniversaries are always super hard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know him the first anniversary, I don't think. I may have. But second anniversary, I was in the middle of counseling and took the day off of work, and I just told him, like, hey, I'm just really gonna need you today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would just say, like, hey, you just remind me, like, I love you, you're awesome, you can get through anything.
That's so great.
But I've never gone into detail about it mm-hmm. with him.
I'm assuming for a husband to hear all that, it would be, like, heartbreaking.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You know, to know that their wife has been through something so traumatic.
Mm-hmm. Especially where, like, he's close to the same age. They live in the same region of the
mm-hmm.
state.
Mm-hmm.
And just to think of their different mentalities.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin would have... I could never see Justin doing that.
Mm.
I guess I said my husband's name.
That's okay.
He would never, I could never see him doing anything like that or even that mentality.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It is interesting. What so drives someone to do something like that? Is right. this?
Yeah. What words of caution would you give to both young men and young women who maybe might be faced with a situation like this? For men, what would you tell them are the signs to, hey, put stuff under control
mm-hmm.
and stop? And for women, what are things maybe that they could be careful of to avoid situations like this?
I think going back to the dating app, if you're like first meeting someone, definitely do it in public. I know that's not the cure-all. But I think it can help a yeah. little bit.
Uh-huh.
Men, if they have not said the word yes, or if they haven't been the one to say, like, oh, I want this, do not do it. Because
mm-hmm.
I have a very close friend of mine recently that went through this experience, and she was willingly going to do that with him that night.
Mm.
She's done it with him before. And he just didn't care about anything and anyone else in the world and just did it without thinking about her. And it's been a really big
yeah, issue. It's traumatizing.
Very traumatizing. So I'm like, even if she's done it with you before, even if, you know, just ask. Mm-hmm. Or like every single time, if you're not sure, or even if you think that she's really into it, just ask
mm-hmm.
so that you can hear the word yes, because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Even while you're dating, even if you've been dating for a long time, like, it doesn't matter. Doesn't, like, it's all traumatizing, no matter what relationship you have with the person.
Yeah.
You could be married, and if she doesn't want to do it, she doesn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm just so sick right now.
It hurts. I've never been a boy or man in the same situation, but I can assume that it's very similar, that the rest of your sex life, the rest of your relationships throughout the rest of your life are affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with women, it makes you feel so worthless.
Mm-hmm.
My self-esteem and my respect for myself just plummeted. And I didn't ever believe that I would ever have someone to love me if I wasn't giving that to them. That was probably one of
oh my gosh.
Like a really low period of my life.
Mm-hmm. So it's affected you in lots of different ways.
Lots.
Mm-hmm. Like still till this day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are there any goodness. Words of hope that you could give to somebody in this situation that would maybe, I mean, there's not going to be anything you can say that's going to fix this, right?
Right.
But is there anything that maybe you would tell somebody that could give them some hope?
I think you can heal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you heal completely. Like, I'll never say, like, I am healed. But I am very healed mm-hmm. in the process of being healed.
Mm-hmm.
Going and talking to someone, I highly recommend seeing a therapist. Because they're trained
yeah.
in how to help. Mm-hmm. And it can be very helpful. It's very empowering when you can look at the situation and not feel so much hatred towards yourself
because mm-hmm.
you didn't do anything to yourself
mm-hmm.
but you still feel that hate towards yourself. And I think honestly forgiveness mm-hmm. if you can forgive even no matter how hard that is it's very healing. And I
that's
it,
amazing
it does get
by
better
the way.
It does that's get amazing. Better
it's amazing.
If you let yourself heal the way you need to heal, it mm-hmm. does get better.
Very, very
well You're amazing.
Spoken.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, mm-hmm. you mentioned also that there are some other resources that you'd like to give people. There's a national number, I think.
Yes. So there's the national hotline. It's through the RAIN Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the hotline to that, it is 24/7. Is 1-800-656-HOPE.
Okay. We'll be sure to add that too.
And then if you're here in Rexburg, Idaho, or mm-hmm. the surrounding areas, you can get a hold of the Family Crisis Center, and their 24-hour hotline is 208-356-0065.
Awesome. I'm, like, sick to my stomach right now for you, but I'm also, like, in awe because of what you've been through and, like, what you are doing now. You're amazing.
I think it happened so that I can help. I think I went through the pain, the trauma,
yeah.
PTSD, the counseling, the healing, mm-hmm. so that I could help others reach this point where I'm at, where I can talk about it and I didn't cry.
Yeah.
Not many people can do that, and... to be honest, I haven't been able to do that very often without
wow.
crying either. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But I also just want everyone to know that I love them.
Yeah.
And
you're amazing.
There is help. Talk to someone.
And that you're not, it's not your fault.
It's not your
you
fault.
You want to know what's interesting too when you were speaking? So before we started airing, I talked, and Eddie knows this, but I talked to you about that experience I had in Utah, and it wasn't rape. I like just can't even imagine, but it was, I consider a type of assault where mm-hmm. they were not stopping, and I had to tell him to stop and take me home. But then I feel like for me, I was so naive, and. Had him, and told him, oh, it's okay, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And he turned around and took me back, but or took me back to his house, where the same thing was happening again. And thankfully for that situation, I was able to go home, but he was so, like I told you guys, he was so rude the whole entire time, like mm-hmm. driving me home. And, but just as you were talking, I was thinking of that because I feel like girls can get sucked in so easily, like
yes,
and are can be so trusting
not
of,
to put it out there, not to play the what if game,
yeah.
but what if he hadn't
respected you past yeah, that point.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, if your gut tells you...
That's what I was going to say. Yep.
No, it means no. Mm-hmm. If your gut tells you not to go on this date, cancel it. Or reschedule, or change location, or whatever you feel you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're with them and you're feeling uncomfortable, like, I felt uncomfortable when he pushed me on the bed.
Ugh.
And I could have just stood up and been like, listen, I'm not even willing to, like, give you the time of day.
Yeah.
But I did feel bad.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And why is that, I wonder? Like, why is that in girls, like, we feel that so easy? And I think it's just our nature,
mm-hmm.
is to be trusting and forgiving. And,
like,
I don't know, it's interesting, but I think it happens more time than not. Like you yeah. said, 1 in 6 rapes, that's horrible. But also I think just girls feeling pressured to do things that they don't want to do, or yeah. they're, or things are being
because I think pushed in society or wherever it's, there's definitely a pressure that, especially if you're married,
mm-hmm.
that you have that obligation as
mm-hmm.
a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, well, he provides the money, or he worked on your car, or he's this big, tough man for you, so now what are you going to do for him?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And whether you're dating, married, whatever, stranger, happens mm-hmm. from strangers all the time, it doesn't justify it at all.
No.
We, like, women do not need to feel like they have to do that, mm-hmm. ever. Men either.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and like you said, when we were saying it's that it's not your fault, I feel like the weird, horrible experiences I've had with that, it's like, it really affects you. And I've talked to Eddie about that. It really affects you your whole life.
Yeah.
Like you just, I don't know. You obviously know, but you well, can't help but think about certain things and
relive negative experiences.
Yeah, relive negative experiences. And it does make you feel like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, whether it affects you.
Raped, like, fully or molested,
mm-hmm.
that feeling that you get doesn't go away. And it's pretty the same across the board, I think. Like, you just feel like that's all you're worth.
Mm. But you are so much more, right? You're so worth it. I love you.
So worth it.
You're amazing. Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to realize that. It took me a long time.
Wow.
But it's important to realize. It might mm-hmm. take a while to realize, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But working towards that, working towards, like, I started with counseling and everything, and then I said, I need to love myself again,
mm.
because I hated myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was this dirty piece of meat. That's how I looked at myself, because that's how I felt men looked at me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Even though beforehand, I was respected. But that one incident just flipped a switch. And I said, no, I am strong.
Yeah.
I am beautiful. I am not dirty, because I didn't choose that. Even the choices I made after,
mm-hmm.
I had to say, that's not me. That's the person that he made me feel like. That's the person he wanted me to be. He wanted me to be the person willing to do anything and everything at a man's beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't me. I'm not that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it took me a long time to realize that, but it was important for me to realize that. I think it's important for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. At,
even though, like, it's hard to start,
mm-hmm.
and even though you don't believe yourself at first, you have to start learning how to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm just like...
That's how I healed. I'm like,
just...
And even if you press charges, which, good on ya.
Yeah.
Like, please... Please press charges if that's what's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
I think at the end of that entire process, you still need to learn how to love yourself.
Again. Yeah. I love that. I think that's so great. And it goes right along with my motto, my mantra that I've had for a few years. So it stemmed from Brené Brown, but Sierra Boggess, she's a Broadway star, and I just love her singing and everything. But here is her mantra. You are enough. You are so enough. It is unbelievable how enough you are. I love that so, so much. And I just think everyone needs to tell themselves that in every situation, every day, because we are all enough.
And if someone can't recognize that, if they're acting like you're not enough because you're not doing something that they want you to do, get out.
Yeah. Red flag.
Yeah. Red flag.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, wow. Well, we're running out of time, but I am like speechless right now.
I feel so.
How are you doing right now?
I was like nervous and what if I cry? What if I don't say things that people need to hear, but I just feel good right now.
Good.
Because I'm talking about it.
Exactly. Healing. See, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Okay. So your social media platforms, I know you are wanting people to know that they can reach out to you.
Yeah. So I highly recommend reaching out to someone you trust.
Exactly.
And that's not going to turn the situation around on themselves. Because I know if someone's been through it, they'll be like, oh yeah, well, it happened to me like this. There should never be any comparing in situations. If someone's really there to listen to you, they'll just listen to your situation and be there for you. If you can't find anyone to do that, I want you to message me.
I love it. And can we put that info on... I know you have provided that for us.
Yes.
Can we put all of that on our website and Instagram? Okay.
Yeah.
And it's... So it's your Instagram handle and then Facebook?
Yeah. So my Instagram is this or that beauty with two R's. It is my beauty page. But sometimes it's better to message like a page like that instead of like, oh, this is a sexual assault awareness page.
Right.
And someone might see that you're messaging that if that's something you're worried about.
You want to be anonymous.
Yeah.
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 Or if they want to be anonymous.
And I would only reach out to anyone else, like resources in your area or whatever, if you want me to. If you just need someone to listen, I would love to be there. And then my Facebook is Taylor Seghetti Orr. So it's Seghetti Orr.
Okay.
All one word, no underscores? Or
there is a space between Seghetti and Orr.
Okay.
Because Seghetti's my main name. But
right. Earlier, Eddie was like, it's like spaghetti.
Yeah. Everybody calls me spaghetti. I love it.
I love it. It's a good way to remember it. Okay, well, we'll put all that info. We'll also put the phone numbers, so the crisis centers.
Yeah.
If you could send me those again.
I'll send those to you right now.
That would be awesome. And we're just so grateful, Taylor. Thanks for taking the time to be so open and so vulnerable and brave. I know you've talked about this with people, but this is like a different platform for, to share this story. And so... I have no doubt that it's, that there's going to be someone who listens who's going to be like,
that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who's felt alone is going to feel like somebody else
gets it.
Is out there that understands.
I hope so.
Oh, I,
I mean, no doubt. I don't doubt it. Cause
the statistic shows.
It's crazy how many people go through it.
Yeah.
And you just never know.
You never know.
You never know who's gone through it.
Well, you're awesome. Thank you so, so much.